Good morning, church. Good to be with you all this morning. If it sounds like I'm talking in a box, it's because I am. I've got still got this mess going on in my head, but you know, praise God, I'm able to be here this morning, and I thank the Lord for y'all. You know, Mike Song said that that he had the birthday and we got the gift. You know, if you're honored enough to be here this morning and you are born again this morning, if you were saved here this morning, you got the greatest gift that was ever given. Amen. Amen. You got it. I praise God for that. We're going to be over in Proverbs, the 24th chapter. If you want to turn there, I'm going to do the 11th and 12th verse. I'm not going to have you stand right just at this moment because I got something else I want to talk to you about. I want the world's greatest crime is what I'm going to be talking about. And why I brought that out as my sermon this morning, the world's greatest crime, because you know what? Everybody in here may be guilty of it. I'm not saying you are, but you may be guilty of it here this morning, and I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to point it down your path. I'm going to lay it out there for you this morning to see whether or not in your own heart you're guilty of this or not, because I believe this is very important that we understand. It's my 2020 sermon to the church here this morning. Before I get into this, though, I want to ask you a question. Do you know what the word Judah means in the Hebrew? Do you know what it means? It means praise. And I'm going to read a verse of scripture to you. Over in Hosea 10:11, it says this: "And Ephraim is as a heifer that is taught, and loveth to tread out the corn, but I passed over her fair neck. I will make Ephraim to ride," now get this, "and Judah shall plow, and Jacob shall break his cord." Brothers and sisters, what it's saying is, with praise we shall plow. I want to ask you something this morning. I want you to open up your hearts, your souls this morning, as I get into this sermon this morning, because brothers and sisters, we need to praise Him so He can stir up the fallow ground to where we can learn and be taught by it. Amen? Amen. I believe that's what He wants us to do, and I believe we need to praise Him. So before the seed is sown, the ground has to be ready. Everybody in here this morning, understand that before we get into the sermon this morning, because I believe it's that important. The ground has to be ready. Your soul has to be ready to take it in. Don't just shove it aside and say, well, you know what? I'm not going to listen to that because that's just a bunch of nonsense. It may be for you this morning. It may be for me this morning. But it's for one of them. Before the seed is sown here this morning, I believe we need to praise Him. Because why? Because He is worthy of our praise. There's nobody else around here that's worthy. I'm not worthy of it. And I can tell you, you're not worthy of the praise that should only be held for Him this morning. I'll tell you what, let's do. Let's stand this morning again. I want to praise Him with everything that we got in Him before we hear God's word. Let's do that. Raise your hands and let's just praise You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Praise the Lord this morning for Your mercy and for Your grace. Thank You for the blood that was shed on Calvary one day. I want to praise You for that. I want to thank You for that. I believe when praise opens up our hearts, I believe it does that this morning. Praise God this morning so that the Word can take root. It doesn't fall on stony ground or thorny ground. Whenever we praise Him, I believe what it's saying is that you lift up the words to praise to Him, and it can lift up our hearts and let the Word sink down into it. Hosea 10:12 says, let me finish with this, "Sow to yourself in righteousness. Reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is the time to seek the Lord." This is the end of 2019. It's time that we seek the Lord for 2020. Amen? It's time we seek Him for what He wants for us to do. It said to seek the Lord till He come, and does what? He rains righteousness upon us. Praise God, that's what I want to do this morning. If you would, Proverbs 24. Let's read, starting with the 10th verse. "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small." You need to mark that there, because that's not what I'm going to preach on this morning. But when I was reading this scripture, if thou faint in the day of adversity, then what it says, your strength is small. It's saying your faith is small, is what it's saying. You need to mark that and understand that this morning. "If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doeth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doeth not he know it? Shall not he render to every man according to his works? Jamie, I'm going to ask you to open up the service with a blessing this morning, please. Amen. You may be seated, and thank you this morning. As I mentioned there earlier, I want to talk about the greatest crime that's ever been committed. I want to talk about a little bit the greatest crime in human history, if you really want to put it into perspective here this morning. And to be put it to you bluntly, I believe it's still going on to this very day. It's never quit. It's never happened. I believe it's still going on. It's not being committed by hardened criminals. It's not being committed by the hardened criminals. But brothers, it's been committed by those people that call themselves Christians who it's being committed by. It's called the crime of forbearing is what it's called. Forbearing means patience and restraint. That's what it means. It means to hold oneself back is what it means. The crime Christians are committing, if I may add it to you this morning, is the crime of doing nothingness is what it's about. That's what I want to talk to you a little bit about this morning, concerning the lost that are all around us. Did you understand this, that there's 151,000 people that die every day in the world? 151,000 people. Now, to put it into a little bit of perspective, you know what? That's every minute. Every minute there's 105 people die. Every minute, 105 people die. And of those 151,000, they say that there's 125,000 of them that have never known God and never will know the Lord. Now, to put it into perspective there just a little bit, 150,000 people die, and out of that, 125,000 of them never know the Lord. That's 125,000 souls. 125,000 souls that are experiencing what what Jesus talked about over Mark 9, 43 and 48 when he said this. And if thy hand offend thee, he said, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed, and then having two hands and going to hell and into fire that never shall be quenched. And he goes on to say, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell and into fire that shall never be quenched. Where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell's fire. Where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. 125,000 souls will experience that today. As me and you go about our daily walk of life as Christians, 125,000 souls will experience that. That should be enough to make every born-again Christian in this building here this morning go to their knees, fall on their knees, and cry out to God and say, God, is there anything that I can do, anything at all that I can do to be the witness that needs to be done to those souls? Jesus gave us the Great Commission. We all know it. We've all talked about it. The instructions of the resurrected Jesus Christ said this over Matthew, the 28th chapter. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever. I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. As Christians, do we truly believe the Great Commission? Amen. I want to ask you a question, and this is why I say that. We're coming upon 2020, and I want to ask you, do you believe in the Great Commission as Jesus Christ stated it right there? That there's people that need to accept Jesus Christ into their heart before they take that step out into eternity, and that they are doomed for eternity into everlasting punishment. They absolutely are doomed for everlasting punishment. If we do, you know what? And listen, do we believe Acts 4:12 where it says this? Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Do we truly believe that? Do we truly believe that Jesus Christ is the only answer, is the only way? Because if we truly do believe that, John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Do we still believe this? Do you believe that there is a reason Jesus saved your soul here this morning? Do you believe that? Do you know that the principles that run throughout nature that should be prevalent in Christianity as well? Sheep will produce sheep. I've never seen sheep produce horses, have you? I've never seen horses produce sheep. Brothers and sisters, Christians should produce Christians. Amen. We are the ones that are given the Great Commission to go out into a lost and a dying world and to draw them into as much as we, Christians should produce other Christians. Plain and simple. We're the ones that Jesus Christ has given the Great Commission to. There's no one who should be fighting with all that is in us to stop this. All of us should be fighting to do that. That are heading into the slaughter. That's what that means in verse 11, when it says, if we forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, those that are already to be slain, they are heading to the slaughter. I said 125,000 people are heading to eternity in hell. They are heading there. When we saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion because they fainted and were scattered abroad, as sheep having no shepherd. Thus saith he unto his disciples, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, he will send forth laborers unto the harvest. He's talking about us. He's talking about those that are born again. He's talking about the Christians that are sitting here this morning and sitting in churches up and down through the valley. We are the ones, brothers and sisters, that are the ones that Jesus said, we're the ones that lay. Do you know that Jesus is praying here? He said, pray that they send forth laborers for the harvest. He prayed that. And that prayer is still going on today for each and every one of us. He's praying that we would see fit to take a hold of. Christians, we are the laborers. All of us are that. We often think it's just the preacher's job. No, it's not. You show me that in the Bible where it's just the preacher's job. It doesn't say that. If you want to get technical with me, I'll show you what it says that the preacher should be doing. I can show you what the Bible says. It is our job, all of our jobs, to go out to a lost and a dying world. I don't care how young you are here this morning if you're saved. I don't care how old you are if you're saved here this morning. It is your job. It is your job. It's not just the missionary's job. It's not just the evangelist's job. Every person who is saved is called to be a laborer into the fields that Jesus said are ripe for the harvest. The writer in Proverbs said this, if thou forbear to deliver them. These are folks that are heading to their doom. Another translation says it this way, rescue those being led away to death, hold back those staggering towards the slaughter, is what it says. These are people so blinded they have no idea what they're heading for. What lies in store for them? Here they're about to drop off into the abyss and be lost forever. They're about to be done. So who are these that are staggering to the slaughter? You might ask. Well, it don't take long to go out here and look at who they are. They can be found in the nursing homes. Oh yes. They can be found in those nursing homes that we go to that once in a while out there where her mother's at and where you've been at. And I know Teresa mentioned it this morning. They can be found in there. There are people in there that need Jesus Christ as their Savior. Yes, there is. They can be found in the old souls that maybe some people don't even take care of anymore. Do you realize that when we go out to the nursing home, there's people out there that have no family out there? None. Nobody to go out there to them. Nobody. They're out there, and it's up to the nurses to try to take care and to be their families. Brothers and sisters, we are called to those people. We're called to them. They're feeling alone and forgotten. There are many of those souls that are lost, and they need Jesus Christ before they go into eternity. They can be found in our middle schools and in our high schools and in our colleges. Oh, yes, they can. Many of whom think that they have a lifetime. There's many that think that they have a lifetime to live, that they have no worries, nothing's going on. I've got a lifetime to make this decision. I'm here to tell you this morning, you don't know that you have a lifetime. You have no idea that you do. I've said this story many times. I've had friends in high school that died when they were 16 in a car wreck. You do not know that you have a lifetime. And we can be those that are sent to them. The devil's biggest lie is when youth is involved is this, that you've got plenty of time. That you've got plenty of time. You know, many of whom being in our colleges today being fed humanism as a way of life, that the humans are the ones, the human beings are the ones that can handle the problems of life. I'll tell you what, I'm glad that human beings aren't the ones that are trying to handle my life. I'm glad that you're not. I see too much of it. I know what path they try to take them down. Staggering to the slaughter. They have youth doing that. Young adults, the age group between 24 and 35. 29% of these, a 29% increase in death in that age group. 29% increase in that group in death, dying early, starting in 2010 on. So tell me that you have plenty of time. There's no way that you can say that. Because you know what? Today is the day of salvation, is what the Bible says. They can be found in the prison systems. I know that we have some in here who have dealt with that. They're in our prison system today. Too many times, men and women forgotten behind bars. They need Jesus Christ, just like people standing here, sitting in here this morning, need Jesus Christ as their Savior. They need that. That's staggering to the slaughter. And if someone doesn't reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ, they are heading to a devil's hell, is where they are heading. An eternity that the Bible says that there will be no relief of the suffering there. And that's hard sometimes for people to comprehend, but that's the truth. They're being fed false doctrines and ideologies. Absolutely. There's many of them. There's many people sitting in churches this morning being fed false ideologies and false doctrines. Jesus knew this would happen. That's why he said in Matthew 7, 21 through 23, not that everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Not everybody sitting in a church is going to heaven. Not every one of them is. That's hard to comprehend. The Lord said that. I am not saying it. Not all that say unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many marvelous, wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Wow. Wow. Sitting in churches today, being fed false ideologies and doctrines. Staggering to the slaughter. Clouds without rain. That is what's going on today in the churches across this country. And you think, and we step back sometimes and we're afraid to say anything to people because we're afraid that they'll get mad or we'll hurt their feelings. I'm telling you, I'd rather hurt their feelings than I would see them stagger to the slaughter and die and go to hell because I didn't have the courage to stand up and tell them. There are 15,000 human beings being born each hour around this world. Each hour. Imagine that. 15,000. They're going to need to know about Jesus Christ. They're going to need to know about him. In the last couple hours I've been here, 475 each hour in the United States are born. What's that? 914 people, if my math is right, are being born in 2 hours here in the United States. With all love and intensity of the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters, we must not forbear when it comes to letting people know that they need Jesus Christ. We must rescue those that are being led away to the slaughter. Hold back nothing but those that are staggering to the slaughter. Somebody has been told in spite. They have to be told in spite of themselves that they're heading that way. I know this for a fact. And you know this as well, folks. Me and you both know that you can talk to people and sometimes and let them know about Jesus Christ and they will turn their back on it and walk. The blood's not on your hands at that point. It's not. But if we do not tell them, I'll just read some scripture here in a little bit, it'll show you the blood is on our hands. It lies with us. And that's why it's important this morning as I'm going, unfortunately, we always think it's somebody else's job. And we always think that it's somebody else's responsibility to talk to people. Why is that? Why do we do that? Can I ask you a question this morning? I don't want you to raise your hands. When's the last time you witnessed to somebody? I am just talking to everybody in this room here this morning. When is the last time you witnessed to somebody about the faith that is in you? Listen, the Bible says to forbear them. How are we going to forbear if we do not talk to them? If we do not let them know? Oh, I'm a good fella, I'm a good guy, I'm a good girl. They'll see it. No, No, we must let them know that they need Jesus Christ as their Savior. Unfortunately, we always think it's somebody else. Every Christian, everybody in here that calls herself a Christian in here this morning has a responsibility this morning. Everybody, so that we could be reached out to those that we think can't be reached. We need to reach out as much as we can to those who we think that can't be reached. Luke 12:48 said this, "But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given of him shall be much required." If you're a Christian this morning, much has been given to you. Do you understand that? Much has been given to every one of us in here. Much is, you're going to stand before a just and a righteous God one of these days. Much is going to be required of you if much has been given you. When I got saved, when I was 14 years old, much was given to me. Yes, it was. If you're born again here this morning, much has been given to you. And praise God, that's what I'm here to tell you. He's going to require a lot out of it. To whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. The reality is, listen, in store for the lost. Let me ask you, and again, I want to ask you a heartfelt question again. Have you testified to anybody and let them know that Jesus Christ is their only hope? I mean, I'm just. This is why it struck me. Whenever I was studying for this sermon down through the week, I got sick last night. And I told her, I said, I hope I can be there today because I believe this needs to be preached before we go into 2020. It's important that we testify and witness to people and let them know where they're headed. And that's not just Greg's responsibility or mine or Alita's or whoever else's. It is all of our responsibility. And share the gospel message. When was the last time we prayed to God? Let me ask you this. When was the last time you got on your knees before you went out of the house in the morning and prayed to God to send somebody to you to be a witness to? When was the last time? People are going to hell, folks. They're staggering to the slaughter. There are people dying every minute. And some of them we can affect, some of them we can't get to. But the ones that we can talk to, it is our responsibility. Lord, I pray that you send somebody my way today. Pray that you send somebody my way today that I can witness to. When was the last time you did that and had the opportunity to do that? I'm just asking. We have a tremendous responsibility that has been laid on each and every one of us. The world's greatest crime, I read it to you in verse 12. If thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doeth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doeth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? You know what they're saying there? God's the one that knows our souls. So you can turn your back on an individual. You can say, I'm not going to be a witness to anybody, but God knows. Does he not know your soul? Does he not know your heart? Does he not know that your mind, what your mind is going on in there? He knows. And if you just casually shove it to the side, I'm here to tell you this morning, he knows, and he will hold you responsible for it. He will do that. Then you say, I don't know. I didn't know I was supposed to do anything. Really? Find yourself warned this morning. You know now. We are called. The Great Commission was to everybody that is born again. But he will not repay anyone according to what they... Listen, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and to doeth it not... You know what the Bible says it is? It says it is sin. That's what it says. For him to knoweth, or her, that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to that person it is sin. And we know this morning what we should be doing. Absolutely. Are you guilty of the world's greatest crime? I don't know. Are you? That lays on everybody's heart and on everybody's shoulder. I'm not going to drag you up here and try to pound you over the head with it. I'm just giving you what God has given me to let you know. Are you guilty of it? Back in 1960, a man by the name of Carl Chessman was sentenced to death to die in a gas chamber. This is a true story. You can look it up. His lawyer had got a federal judge to put a stay of execution on the proceedings. Well, this was 1 minute before they were supposed to drop the cyanide pills into the gas chamber. The secretary called the wrong place. By the time she got through, they'd already dropped the cyanide pills in. He died. Had a stay of execution. Was supposed to be okay. But because somebody didn't get through, somebody didn't do something right, they died. I'm here to tell you, listen, the judge, she misdialed. But praise God, listen to me this morning. Listen, you see, the secretary had the message that could save him. But it didn't get through. I'm telling you this morning, you've got the message. Everybody here knows that Jesus Christ is the way. And if you do not accept him as your Savior, you are staggering toward the slaughter. We have that message. Are you going to be like this secretary and not give it to somebody? Maybe somebody's going to pass. Maybe somebody's going to pass before you get home that you should have told them that Jesus Christ is their only hope. Will everybody listen to you? No way. I know that. They won't. We're carrying the message in John 10:10. The thief cometh not for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That's the difference between the thief, the one is wanting to take people's souls to hell, and Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ has a message of life. He's given us that message, and we are the ones that can put that message out there. They're staggering to the slaughter, absolutely. Over in Isaiah 14:15, it says this, "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit." Job 26:6, "Hell is naked before him, and destruction has no covering." Psalms 55:15, "The wicked die and go instantly to hell." Let death seize upon them. Let them go down quick into hell, for the wickedness is in their dwelling and among them. And Jesus said this in Matthew 7:13, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." Have you ever wondered why? That scripture tells you there, right there. There's going to be very few people that find out exactly what heaven is about. But there are going to be a bunch of them that know what hell's about. There's a bunch of them that's going to understand that one. Because broad is the way that leads to destruction. And people cannot seem to get on it fast enough to go that way. What is hell going to be like? Turn with me to Isaiah 14:9, because this is very, very interesting, and I believe we need to look at this. Isaiah 14:9. Do you believe that Satan has the exact opposite of what God has? I believe he does. There's heaven, there's hell. There's the Antichrist, and then there is Christ. You know in the Bible where it says that in heaven rejoices over one soul that's come to know Jesus Christ? You know what hell does? This is what it says. Isaiah 14:9. "Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming." Did you know it said that in there? Did you know that? "Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming." Another translation says it this way: "The realm of the dead below is all astir to meet you at your coming. It rouses the spirits of the departed to greet you." Did you know that? Whenever I was studying this week, God had showed me that. And man, that just made it so much more pressing upon me to preach this. Whenever someone dies and heads to the realms of hell, hell is stirred up to reach them, to grab them, to bring them down. They're cussing at them. They're doing all manner of things and telling them, "Ha ha, we got you." Man, I'll tell you what, if that doesn't stir your heart, your heart needs to be stirred. To understand that. Whenever heaven, the angels in heaven rejoice over one soul, and hell is rejoicing over the multitudes that are coming in. comprehend that for a little bit. That just absolutely just stirred me, makes me cry. Can you only imagine the mocking and the profanity and the evilness that awaits those? And we can sit back and say, we've not witnessed to nobody. We don't pray for a soul each and every day. That breaks my heart. That breaks my heart. Tell me what you would do to keep a loved one from that. I want to ask you, what would you do to keep a loved one from going to a place like that? I've often said this, there are going to be dads in hell. They're going to see their sons coming in. And that's going to be part of their punishment as well. And they're going to see daughters coming in. And they're going to see mothers are going to see daughters and sons coming in. It is unspeakable sometimes. Are you dialing the wrong number? Can I ask you that? Are you like that secretary and keep dialing the wrong number and keep putting it off? People need to know what is in store for them. We talk about everything else. We can talk about, if I went to you, we could talk about the West Virginia basketball game today. We could talk about the weather. We could talk about everything under the sun. But can I tell you, those things are bad to talk about. But the most important thing that needs to be talked about is, how is your soul? How's your soul today? Where do you lie? Does Jesus Christ live within you? The Holy Spirit dwell within you and move you. We'll talk about everything. We'll talk about everything under the sun, but we won't talk about what is important. The trouble, when your souls are at stake, everything else is a wrong number. Amen? Everything else is a wrong number. Someone once said the hottest place in hell is reserved for those who stand idly by and do nothing. I agree. Someone else said the only thing that has to be done for evil to triumph is for good men and women to stand by and do nothing. We can see it in this country. If you stand by and idly stand by and don't stand up for what is right and what is good and what the Word of God says, we see what happens. We see what happens. Ezekiel 3, if the watchman warns them and they don't respond, it said their blood is on their own hands. But this is what it says about us. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet to warn the people, and the sword comes and takes someone else's life, that person's life will be taken because of their sin, but I will hold the watchman accountable for the blood. There's a lot of people with blood on their hands. You understand what I'm saying? What a powerful analogy. What a powerful analogy this is for each of us for 2020. As we head out, get ready. We got a couple days left in this year. This is the last Sunday of the year, the last Sunday of the decade. We're heading into a new decade. And I'm here to tell you, there is time for us to win souls in 2019. If I truly believe hell's as terrible as I said it was, I'll tell you what, we would be after as many people as we could get. We shouldn't want anyone going to a place like that without warning, without them understanding that there is a warning. God does not consider indifference attitude acceptable. Indifference is not acceptable in God's eyes. I've never seen in this book, in the New Testament anywhere, or in the Old Testament, where indifference was acceptable on our part. Joel 3:14, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. There's multitudes of people out there that are right on the edge. They're just right here, about ready to step off into eternity. Some of them you know, some of them you'll never meet. But the ones that we meet, our little place, our little corner of the field, as we say, that's for us to make sure that they know that they need Jesus Christ. Amen. Before they step off. Multitudes in the valley of decision. There is. Let's make a concerted effort in 2020. To win souls. Let's do that. Let's don't forbear. Let's don't put it and forbear it and say, listen, you know what? I didn't know that you weren't a Christian. I didn't know that you were lost. I didn't know all this. Let's make sure they understand that they are, if they're saved or not. Amen. Let's make sure. They come get a song, Linda.